This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Well, I'm pretty darn sure that there's never been a broadcast that'll tell you how to repair an LED light bulb. Kathy, have you ever heard of one? Because we're going to do it right here.
No, I haven't.
Okay, so let me give you a little bit of theory first. So y'all remember those Christmas tree lights from the 1960s or so, and they had large bulbs. Okay, the large bulbs would be the size of a nightlight bulb today, right? If you have a an incandescent light bulb like nightlight, like we have. Well, by the way, the reason we use the incandescent 4-watt light bulbs for nightlights is because I believe that there's ultraviolet rays coming out of the unfiltered, undiffused, bright LEDs for nightlights. See, they take a little tiny LED and they use the electronics for it. You plug it into your wall outlet and there you have this bluish white light, and I don't think it's filtered, so I don't want that in my house. So we use the old-fashioned 4-watt, they used to be 7 watts, now they're 4 watts, the incandescent light bulbs that were the size of the old Christmas tree light bulbs. Kathy, do you remember those from the 60s, those size light bulbs for Christmas lights?
Yeah, I do, and I remember that they got hot, because if you touched them as a kid, you normally got your finger burned a little bit.
Right, right. And typically what they did with those particular bulbs is they would have them in series. So if one bulb burned out, a whole bunch of them would not light up. Did you ever have that experience where you had to find out which one was bad and replace it and bring them all back to life?
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh.
So that's a series circuit. Now, typically, I'm just going to use this as an example, class. So in that string of light bulbs, it would take 12-volt light bulbs. Now, you know that you can't plug a 12-volt light bulb into a 120-volt outlet. You know it's going to burn out, like, instantly, right? So what they did to save costs is they would run one wire from light bulb to light bulb to light bulb. So they'd take 12-volt light bulbs, 10 of them, 10 12-volt light bulbs in series with one wire running from light bulb to light bulb to light bulb, would add up to 120 volts. 10 bulbs at 12 volts apiece would add up to 120 volts. And you could plug that into a receptacle and it worked fine until one of them burned out. So the one that burned out would prevent the other 9 from lighting up. So you'd take a known good bulb and you'd unscrew one bulb at a time because they're painted yellow and green and blue and red. And you really couldn't see the filament, so you'd have to unscrew one bulb at a time to figure out which one of the 10 was bad. All right. Same principle is involved with some of these Edison-based screw-in light bulbs that look like a regular incandescent light bulb. I'm talking about, you know, your typical 100-watt light bulb, 75-watt light bulb, 60, 40, that size. The LED bulbs that look like that, you can repair them. Now, here's how they work. There is, you have the Edison base, which is the screw-in base of the light bulb. You screw that into the socket, and a traditional fixture, whether it be a desk lamp, or a can light or recessed lighting, or a floor lamp, whatever it is, if it uses that Edison base, many of these bulbs have this technology. What they do is they take a diffuser, And that is the plastic part of the light bulb. And you can very carefully make sure you wear protective gloves. And you can probably break the glue seal between the heatsink, which is just below the diffuser, and break the glued seal between the diffuser and the heatsink. Now, the heatsink is part of the bulb, and it's metal. It's usually painted white, so it doesn't really look like it's heatsink. But if you touch it when that bulb is running, you'll realize it's a heatsink because it gets really hot. You can actually burn yourself, burn your fingers if you touch it, especially if the bulb is running upside down in a can light or in a ceiling fixture. Okay, so if you can take that diffuser off, which is the plastic bulb part, if you take that off, what you'll see is a disc. And that disc is about, if you were to take your thumb and your forefinger and put them together and make a circle, it's about that big. And that is attached to the heatsink of the light bulb. And you'll see all this when you take the diffuser off. There are typically 10 LEDs in a circle around this aluminum disc. One of them is probably bad. So what you do is you can look on the internet, you can go to YouTube, and you can find the value of the resistor. It's a small resistor, and you take a 12-volt power supply, and you touch the plus and minus to the LED to find out if it works or not. And you test one at a time, and you'll probably find one that's burned out. One of these LEDs. Now, there's surface-mounted devices, SMD. Those surface-mounted devices are just soldered in place. So you can do one of two things, but you're going to need a soldering iron. You can unsolder it, or you can take a knife and just break it off. This is a little chip, okay? You just break off the bad one. So as you go around and around and around, test, find out which ones are good and which ones are bad. If there's one bad one, it probably is just one. You mark it with a marker, a Sharpie marker, so you know that's the one you're going to take out. Take out of service. Take a knife and you break it off. You do it carefully so you don't hurt yourself. And, you know, wear eye protection so a little flex of the LED don't end up in your eyes. And then you take your soldering iron and you solder across this little part that would hold each side of the little LED surface mounted device. And you just took it out of service and replaced it with a solder bridge. And it'll work. How about that? So the reason I know this is I was thinking, gosh, you know, we bought these LED bulbs. Lou Cassidy gave us a bunch of them, and a few of them have failed. So I just put a pencil X on the heatsink so that I know that that one's not working. But it's too good to throw away, but it's not good enough to work. So I was determined that there's no way that I can't fix this thing. And I just told you how to fix it. So you can go to YouTube, and you can type in repair. You can type in at a search engine, YouTube, comma, repair, space, LED, space, bulb. And you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And you can do it. And how much does it cost? Well, if you have a soldering iron already, it's free. Except you're going to have to glue the diffuser back on. So you might need some super glue. And by the way, don't get super glue on your fingers. Because if you do, those are Vietnam handcuffs. Literally. Super glue was designed to be handcuffs. And you could take someone and put their thumb and forefinger together with a drop of super glue, and now they've got their thumb and forefinger glued together. And if you take their other thumb and forefinger and you make a chain out of it with another drop of super glue, now their hands are glued together. And the only way they can get them apart is to rip off their flesh. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is not that you should do that. Don't do that. But to get super glue off, you need acetone. Now, some people would take a razor blade and slice their flesh, which is beyond stupid to me. But if you take some nail polish remover and a Q-tip, you can wipe that on the super glue and it dissolves the super glue that stuck your fingers together. Kathy, any comments?
Well, I was just going to ask you if you figured that out on your own, or I knew that you would probably be thinking about it. Vince, now when you go to take the bottom part off the diffuser, do you twist it, or how did you get it off?
Yeah, you just twist it off. You just twist it off. And about how do I know about acetone? Well, I'll tell you. Years ago, you all know that Art Bell was my favorite broadcaster. He was, in my opinion, the world's finest broadcaster. And I used to listen to him at night, you know, religiously. And one day, he came back from a break, and he was kind of mumbling. And he said, I just did the stupidest thing. I super glued my lips together. And what happened was he had these commercial cartridges. And a commercial, meaning, when I say commercial, I mean advertising commercial. So he had these, you know, 1 minute cartridges that would have a commercial recorded on tape on them. And so he would put the commercial cartridge into the tape player. He would hit the button when he wanted to run commercials. Well, I dropped one on the floor, and it broke. And it was during a break, and he had long breaks. So he got the super glue out and glued it back together and kind of got some on his finger. And he decided that, well, the best way to get it off his finger, the super glue, the liquid before it cured, was to, you know, lick his finger. So he licked his finger, and then when he put his lips together, he glued his lips together. Now, I'm not making this up. This is absolutely true. And you might even be able to find, an audio of Art Bell super gluing his lips together. You can probably do that in the search engine. So, I remember that, and I don't remember exactly what he did to get out of that situation. But 30 years ago or so, I had an El Camino, a Chevrolet El Camino. It's half pickup truck, half car. And I accidentally super glued my right thumb and forefinger together. And I knew I needed to get some kind of a solvent. And I remember reading about acetone being the right solvent. But some nail polish remover doesn't have acetone in it. So not all nail polish remover will work. But the acetone one will. Or if you have acetone, that'll work. So I had to go to the drugstore and get some nail polish remover. So now think about this. So I've got my thumb and forefinger glued together. So I have to start my El Camino with my left hand, but it's really designed for people to use the right hand with the key. And the transmission selector is designed for using your right hand. So it was really kind of difficult. And by the way, after about an hour of your thumb and forefinger being glued together, pain sets in. Excruciating pain. So you're going to want to do this really quickly. Actually, the best thing to do is have nail polish remover with acetone at the ready if you're going to use super glue. And if you're going to use super glue, I always use eye protection and I use latex gloves or some kind of a plastic glove. Because I know that you can super glue your fingers together. I know that for a fact. Kathy?
Yeah. Around here, I feel your pain, man. Not me, my other half. I think he had to use a razor blade once because he was probably working on a car somewhere and didn't have it.
Yeah. And did he tell you about, was he in pain? And you know, typically if you're right-handed, that's your most dexterous hand. So if you're going to be cutting, something with a razor blade, you'd probably be using your right hand. But if you super glue your right hand, now you got to cut with your left hand. That makes everything even worse.
Yeah.
So now, class, you know what to do if you ever glue your super glue your fingers together. But seriously, I don't want to get epoxy on my fingers. I don't want to get super glue on my fingers. I don't want to get glue on my fingers because I don't know what part of China the glue came from. And by the way, when I use epoxy and I use super glue, I do it outside because I think it will destroy your lungs. That and 409 and fantastic fabric washing spray.
Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides That's 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Well, class, Kathy is with us. I'm delighted to be broadcasting with her. And she's a wealth of knowledge. You know, she and her husband have done a lot of the things that Mrs. Finelli and I have done. And it's, you know, it's a mindset. It truly is a mindset of how you look at things. So, for example, here's an interesting thing. Kathy, do you have in your home traverse-type curtain rods and curtains?
Not anymore, Vince. We have blinds, and then I have, like, just the top part. But we have, like, wooden blinds that we mm-hmm. open and close for night. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In Virginia, we had shutters, believe it or not, shutters on the windows, and that's because they came with the house. And they were the wooden shutters, and you could adjust them. And the cost is prohibitive to do that today. I mean, I'm thinking they've got to be $300, $400, $500 for a window for real wooden shutters, you know, inside shutters. That was something that was making its debut probably in the 1960s. People thought that was a really neat thing. I kind of like them, but we don't have them here at the farmhouse. So we have curtains that my mother and grandmother made. So they've got to be from the 1960s, literally. And they're lined. And believe it or not, my mom had, she would buy upholstery fabric from a company called Schumacher. And she would buy enough of it for curtains, and then she'd make sure she had enough to reupholster chairs. I'm talking about high back chairs that, you know, upholstery-type chairs, she would use the same fabric because it was a heavy linen fabric. So that's what our curtains are, and they're heavy. Now, the reason I mentioned traverse rods is because we have some French doors in our house, and they're really cold. There's so much glass on them, and it's really cold, and trying to heat French doors, outside French doors, that, you know, steel doors with grids in them, it works better to conserve heat if you have curtains. So we have some that have these traverse rods with the pull rope. And I just wanted to mention to the class that there's four kinds of pull. There's the right pull, meaning the curtains pull to the right. There's the left pull, meaning the curtains pull to the left. And then there's the center pull, where the curtains pull from the right and the left and go to each side. So all the curtains, you know, in a right pull will pull, let's say it's a 6-foot French door. All 6 feet of curtains, probably 2 panels worth of curtains, will pull to the right side if it's a right pull. If it's a left pull, all the curtains, the 2 panels, will pull to the left side. And if it's a center pull, they'll start at the center and start opening from the center and pull to the right and to the left. Yeah, those are the three kinds of pull, except for there's another kind of pull without the rope, which is use like dowels. It could be a fiberglass dowel rod, or they can be a wooden dowel rod, and they are in at one end or in the center if you have 2 panels of curtains, and you just reach up, grab the dowel rod, because typically if you have an 8-foot door, and you just pull on the curtain, it's rough on the curtain, it's rough on the curtain hooks, it's rough on everything. But if you have a dowel rod, you can just pull to the right and the left, or, you know, whichever way you want to go. So the reason I'm mentioning this, Kathy, is I bought some curtain rods. And, you know, I'm trying to finish the house. It's been 16 years in the making, and there's some things that I need to do. So I bought some curtain rods, and they're 82 inches or 88 inches. So they're heavy duty. And I found 6 of them on the internet for less than $60. New. I couldn't believe it. So I bought them, and I'm going to install them. But typically what happens when people install curtain rods is they look at the window trim, the molding around the window, and they just take these little nails and they bang them into the window molding. The window molding is decorative. It's never designed to be structural in any way, shape, or form. It's just decorative. And it's to seal the air leaks around, you know, around the window, between the window frame and the sheetrock. So what I do, I just want to talk about how I install curtain rods. I take a 1x3 board, and, you know, it can be called a furring strip. And you can buy them, you know, 8 feet long, 10 feet long, 12 feet long. And they used to be just, you know, $1. Well, not anymore. Now they're probably like $4, $5, $6, $8. But I buy 1x3s. So it's 1 inch thick by 3 inches. And the exact length of the trim, the molding around the top of the window, I measure it for that exact length, and I nail on a 1x3. And then I attach the curtain rods to that. And that way, the curtain rods won't pull down and fall down, because the molding was never designed to support curtains.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A Black Lives Matter founder in Memphis, Tennessee, is sentenced to prison for election fraud. 44-year-old Pamela Moses was sentenced to 6 years in prison for voter fraud after she illegally registered to vote, despite being on felony probation. A judge told her she was still on probation when Ms. Moses went to the corrections officers and convinced them she was off probation, then receiving the false documents.
I accept the full responsibility for my actions and that I've been held accountable. I've been in jail since December the 10th.
Moses is expected to appeal the decision. Up in Canada, Ottawa declared a state of emergency on Sunday in response to thousands turning out for a second weekend of demonstrations against COVID-19 mandates. The Washington Post is reporting protests included road blockages, fireworks, driving on sidewalks, and constant horn honking by truckers. USA Radio News.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
As Russian President Vladimir Putin continues posturing against his Ukrainian neighbors, one lawmaker believes Putin sees President Biden and the Democrat-led Congress as weak. Republican Representative Jeff Van Drew from New Jersey on Newsmax.
Certainly the threat is real. Certainly there's a possibility. It's imminent. You know, you never know what's in Putin's mind, except one thing that we do know. He knows that Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, and this majority Congress is weak. He knows that no sanctions have been put in place yet. Quite frankly, we should have moved quickly on severe sanctions and should have moved quickly and never allow the Nord Stream 2 pipeline to flow, which makes Europe more dependent upon Russia. Frankly, we should have, you know, committed to actions in Afghanistan that made sense and created respect around the world. Other than that, they're actually disrespecting us because we commit to a terrible operation there. And we're committing our troops. What we're saying in legislation, which I obviously don't vote for, is that our troops and that our military should be concentrating on climate change and concentrating on getting vaxxed. You know, I mean, we've really got to get down to the real issues. One word, strong.
For more information, visit us online at usaradio.com. I'm Lance Pride, and we are USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Kathy's with us, and I was telling you the way that I hang curtain rods, because the curtains that we have are heavy and they are lined, and they'll just pull the curtain rods right off the trim around the windows and doors. So I don't, and the reason I know that the trim is weak is because I installed it, all the trim in our house. Not that I installed it to be weak. It's just the way it is. It's decorative. It was never meant to really support much weight. Kathy, any comments about the way I mentioned putting a 1x3 above, directly above, touching horizontally touching the entire length of the trim molding over a window or a door.
Well, yeah, and that makes sense, Vince. My husband always uses, whenever he hangs anything like that, he always uses like a stud finder or something. Now, we don't have the heavy curtains with traverse rods, but anytime he puts our curtain rod up, I know we make sure that there's something that it can support the weight of it. And we have in our two bedrooms, we have curtains on the front is a heavy fabric, and on the back there's a liner. And I think it's called a Venetian shade, but it has a pull cord, and you pull them up and they go up horizontal. So we open them in the morning. But right when the sun goes down, we close them, and boy, that really keeps a lot of the cold out. So we do have those two things. And one of the things I did in front of my fireplace, I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but we have a gas fireplace, but it depends where we're at. It's so open that sometimes we have these winds come and you can feel it. There's tile in front of it, and the tile is ice cold. So I had some foam that I used as a cushion, a 4-inch piece of foam that I made a cushion for my mother-in-law to put underneath her couch cushions because she couldn't get up when she was in her 90s. So I saved the piece of foam. And here's just a little tip if people don't know. I used like a marker. I cut it size how I needed it. But if you take an electric knife, you can cut through that foam very easily, and because you'll never do it, especially 4 inches with scissors, it'll be all jagged. So I just marked it upper and the top and the bottom, and I just, very carefully, obviously, held it off the side of my kitchen island, and then I cut it to fit, and then I made a cover for it, and I put that in front of those little vents on the bottom, and made a huge difference. But everything I had for that cushion was all supplies I had at home that I had picked up over the years. I kind of have a supply of fabric, and I saved that cushion foam, but that keeps that cold air from coming out too into the house.
That's I really like that tip that you gave about the cutting foam with an electric knife, because you're absolutely right. There's no way you can cut foam and get it square with scissors. It's impossible. Even if you use a real sharp box cutter type knife, you still can't get it straight. But that's a great, great solution. And, I was at this guy's house. They bought a new house. The husband and wife bought a new house and had a really, really large fireplace opening. There's a brick fireplace. And they decided that they were going to put gas logs in. So the gas log guy came in and he put in the gas logs and so the gas logs were off, and I could feel a draft in this house, and this guy did not know that there was a damper in the fireplace. So class, if you have a quality built chimney or fireplace, there'll be a cast iron damper. Now some of them are really neat, and they have like a knob on the front and coming out of, let's say, the brick, and you turn this knob either clockwise or counterclockwise, whether you want to open or close the damper. Some of them have a ratcheting mechanism inside the fireplace, so you actually have to reach into the upper part of the fireplace, where the fireplace connects to the chimney, and reach in there and get soot all over your hands and just ratchet closed the damper. But what happens is people don't think that this thing is like leaving a window open in the house, because there's a Venturi effect. The wind blows across the top of the chimney and pulls air up the chimney. Now, the chimney can be 8 inches, 8 by 8 or 8 by 12. I mean, large, you can have a really large chimney flue, I should say, and you can lose an enormous amount of heat. And some people don't realize that there is a damper in the fireplace. So, if you want to save on heating, if you're not using the fireplace for heat, you need to close the damper. Kathy, any comments? Have you seen people that didn't know that there was a damper in the fireplace?
Absolutely. And one of our friends had a home built, and I don't know, I want your thoughts on this, Vince, but they didn't have the fireplace on the outside wall. In their family room, the fireplace was like jutting into the family room, like horizontal. And it was like, you could see it from the kitchen and the family room. And then they had just had like the tile around it because they did not want that cold air coming in. Would you recommend something like that, Vince?
Well, I don't know if I have an answer for that. When I was growing up, we had a fireplace and it was on the outside wall. And because it was on the outside wall, there was a clean out cavity just below the fireplace itself. So the fire brick lining at the base of the fireplace had a cast iron kind of a door, and you'd kind of open this little door, rectangular, probably about a foot long by maybe 6 inches wide. And you flick this thing open, and you could just push the ashes down into this hole, which would go lower than the base of the fireplace. That's kind of a neat thing, because how do you clean out a fireplace safely? You know, if you didn't have that, would you sweep the ashes into a paper bag or a box? Or a plastic bag, what would you do? And there's always a risk of a fire if the ashes haven't gone out, right? So if they're hot. So the really great setup is to have one of these cavities below the fireplace itself, and you just sweep the ashes in now into that. Now, if you go to the outside of the house, you'd probably see a clean out, where you can clean out a cast iron door at a low point of the chimney, where you can clean out the ashes that have been put in there, over the year or years. It's a great way to go. Well, we had that in a house when I was growing up in the 60s, and in the 50s as well, different house, and both chimneys were on the outside wall. I think it's a little safer to have the chimney on the outside wall rather than the inside wall, but you gain a little bit more heat from the hot gases going up the chimney if you have an inside wall fireplace. But I think I like the outside. The plans for the current house that we're living in right here that we built on the farm call for a fireplace in the kitchen as well as the family room, if you will. And I decided not to put a fireplace in because I know for a fact that any time you put a hole in the roof for either a chimney or plumbing venting, or high-efficiency plastic pipe furnace or a skylight, anytime you put a hole in the roof, it's a great place to have a leak. And I have always, in every house that had either a skylight or a chimney, it's always leaked. Always. So this house, there's no chimney. It's supposed to have them. But we don't have them because I decided not to put the chimneys in. But I did put a gas log fireplace in, a metal fireplace. I found one used on Craigslist. And for $200, I put in a gas log fireplace. But it's not hooked up to gas yet. That's one of those things on the list. But so I don't really have an answer other than the fact that you'll have more potential for a leak if the chimney is in the center wall rather, or in the center of a room rather than the outside, because you'll have four sides of a chimney that you have to prevent from leaking if you have it going through the center of a house rather than on an outside wall. If it's on the outside wall, you only have flashing on one side, one edge of the chimney. So those are my thoughts. Any questions or comments about those kinds of things like leaks?
Well, my husband has a saying, I don't want to put a hole in a perfectly good roof or wall. He says that all the time, if he can help. But I have a comment, Vince, before we get off the air, talking about the cushions. If you have two pieces of foam, and let's say it's not enough, let's say you need a 3-foot cushion and you've got two pieces, and you can cut it to size. You can take a glue gun and glue that together. Just make like a little swirl on the inside of both pieces and just hold it together for a minute or two and let it harden. And if it's not enough, then come back 10 minutes later and try, you know, fill in around the edges. But I did that on something else I needed to make a cushion for. So that cushion is really expensive. So save your pieces as long as they're not real tiny. But if you have two pretty good sized pieces, you can glue those together.
You know, we first built this house, we put in a refrigerator and a freezer upright in the kitchen. And I didn't like the noise that the compressor and the fan made of the refrigerator and freezer. They were side by side. So I took a piece of that, it looks like acoustic dampening type foam that they used to use in packing equipment. So we got, I don't know exactly what it was that was shipped in it, but there was some foam padding. That was before, I guess, the era of peanuts and these plastic bags with air in them for packing. So I had some foam rubber, and I put it under, I cut it to fit under the refrigerator and freezer. But I also jacked up the refrigerator and freezer on those rollers, those appliance rollers. So I put this foam in there, and it really quieted down the sounds coming out of the bottom of the refrigerator and freezer. So there's lots of uses for this, we'll call it foam rubber. And I agree with you. Why throw it out if you have room to keep it? I can tell you that I've been on the hunt for Purina beef dog chow. Now, I can find the real expensive stuff, but I can't find the regular stuff. And I keep checking with Sam's Club a couple times a day, overnight as well, for the 55-pound bag that's on sale. But they don't have any. They don't have any for 150 miles. So I figured I'd just change the store out of state where they do have some, and I just have it shipped in. Yeah, but they won't ship it. So Sam's is advertising that it's for sale. The only problem is they don't have any around here. So if you go to their website, you'll find that it's not available for pickup, for shipping, or delivery. So I don't know when we're going to get dog food, but I'm trying alternative sources. But I've got some other comments to come back when we come back about tractor exhaust pipes.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes,
Take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Broadcasting trivia. You know, so I didn't find out that Dr. Shealy wouldn't be with us today until about a couple minutes before the broadcast, probably maybe seven minutes before the broadcast. And Mrs. Finelli asked her if she'd call Kathy and see if she was available. And so it's like 5 minutes before the broadcast. So there's no preparation for today's broadcast whatsoever, none. And because I was prepared to talk about medicine with Dr. Shealy. So I very quickly put some notes together, and Kathy is put some notes together, and we're doing this on the fly. So I just wanted to let you know that that's the way today's broadcast went. But because it's preparedness, it's in our back of our mind anyway. We know how to do it. And that's how this broadcast class unfolded. Any comments about that, Kathy?
Well, I think we think about it a lot, Vince, and we're like-minded. Like you said, it's a mindset. That's how we were raised. That's how we think, especially in light of what's coming. I really don't throw anything away now unless it has no use. So, you know, I have notes from other programs that we've done together, other classes. So it's just something that I think we think about. So these things come to us, and it's things that we've done. So when you start talking about something, then I'll go, oh, yeah, I can mention this or that. So,
yeah. All right, so, class, here's something that I found. There's two things I'd like to finish up the broadcast with if we have time. One is exhaust systems on tractors. So if you buy a used tractor, I have a 1974 Ford 3000 three-cylinder diesel tractor, and it came with a muffler a factory-type muffler, and the muffler comes up from the hood. So it's kind of like an automotive muffler that you might have seen, you know, from a car, but it goes straight up. So it comes, the muffler comes out of the hood, and no exhaust pipe on the end of the muffler. So the exhaust is about face high. So when you drive this tractor forward, you're driving into the exhaust, unless it's being pushed up with a high velocity above the end of the muffler. But the muffler is like face high, so it's perfect for getting a blast of diesel exhaust in the face. I can't stand that. So what I do is I measure with a dial caliper. I happen to have a dial caliper, D-I-A-L. It's for measuring outside and inside diameters. Or it works great for measuring precisely. So look up dial caliper, C-A-L-I-P-E-R, if you want to pursue this. So I've had one for probably 50 years. And so I took the inside dial caliper measurement of the muffler. And I had an exhaust pipe cut from a muffler shop. And they have an expander tool. So they can either put the exhaust pipe on the inside or the outside. So I got both measurements, and I decided that I'd measure for a tight-fitting pipe. And it actually had to be on the outside. Okay, the inside, it would have flopped around too much. So it was belled at the end to fit over the exhaust of the muffler. And then we welded up the exhaust pipe. I asked my son to just take out the little welder and weld it on. So now the exhaust pipe is taller than my face. So the problem is I can hit branches if I'm trying to go under trees and things. But in terms of exhaust, I don't get exhaust in the face with that. So you can do it. And what's it cost? $5. Okay? If you have a welder. Any comments about that, Kathy?
That's pretty smart, Ben. That's do it yourself.
Well,
I agree.
Yeah. You can do this, class. Now, all you have to do is measure really closely the exhaust diameter. Now, you don't even have to weld it. You can use a muffler clamp. If it's a tight-fitting bell that you've got, you can use a muffler clamp, and you can tighten that thing down, and that'll work as well. But I didn't have that particular size muffler clamp, but we did have a welder and welding wire. Next thing I'd like to mention is, when we built this house, we had three garage doors and it's in the house. So you go into the house, or you go pull up the driveway, and there are three garage doors. And so we had an overhead garage door company install them. The garage door, overhead garage doors are really tricky. If you've never done one, it's tough. So we had a company do that, and we used Clopay, C-L-O-P-A-Y. That was the brand. It's an okay brand. There's a better brand, C-H-I. But at the time, that was all that was available. And the garage door guy installed them, and he was waiting to get paid, and he said, okay, here are the keys. So this is the key set for the left door. This is the key set for the middle door, and this is the key set for the right door. I said, that's great, but I know that my car, if I want to get in to the passenger side or the driver's side, I can use the same key to get in either side. I don't have to have a separate key for each door. So when you bring me a keyed alike set of locks, I'll be delighted to pay you. The guy couldn't believe what I said. Kind of wet his pants because he was thinking the boss is going to kill him because he didn't get paid for, $3,000 worth of doors. And the reason he didn't think about having them keyed alike. Ultimately, he got paid when he brought all the locks keyed alike. Think about that, class. You don't have to accept what you don't like. And that's stupid, having separate sets of keys for each door, right? Kathy, any quick comments in 5 seconds?
Well, Vince, maybe we can talk about spraying the silicone on a garage door, too, sometime.
J.U. Busy Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea.
The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.